The Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, let's get our Flames Talk postgame show underway on this Tuesday night. And what a way for the Flames to start off a six-game road trip. We're calling it the mother of all six-game road trips. It is an absolute gauntlet, and the Flames started off with an impressive 3-1 win on the road in Washington. Flames Talk postgame is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Pat Steinberg, and the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text line open at 960-960. We'll get to your thoughts, get to your phone calls and texts a little bit later on, but let's start by saying hello to Megan Mickelson, who joins us right now following this 3-1 victory as well. My name is Pat Steinberg, and Mick, our marquee matchup in the pregame show brought to you by Country Hills Toyota was the decision to start Dan Vladar in net, and he rewards that decision for the coaching staff as he makes some big stops down the stretch, allows just the one goal, gets a ton of block shots in front of him, but Dan Vladar picks up the victory and his second consecutive victory as he beats the Capitals tonight.
Yeah, I'm happy for him. I chatted with him this morning after morning skate, and he's really excited about the opportunity to play, obviously. And, I mean, that's a long time to go between starts. But, I mean, he showed that he deserves to play, that obviously we all know that Dustin Wolf is the number one goaltender right now. But to have Dan Vladar be able to come in and to play in these games against teams like the Washington Capitals and come away with a win, that's huge for this team, and I don't think that can be understated at all. So he made some massive saves in this game, and I just thought that he looked really confident and really composed, and for not having played in so long, really sharp as well. And I don't think that, you know, without some of the saves that he did make, they wouldn't have won this one.
Ends up being Capitals at the end of the night, got 14 high danger opportunities. 14-9 was the final high danger count over at Natural Stat Trick. 10-9 at 5-on-5. And, you know, I thought the Flames did a nice job of protecting and keeping the Caps to the outside. Mm-hmm. But when Dan Vladar needed to make a stop, he was there, comes away with a big victory. That is victory number 8 on the season and the second consecutive victory for Dan Vladar. That was our marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. It's time to tell you Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. The Toyota truck clear out is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until July 2025. Mixed story of this game from the Flames side of things has to be that first period. You know, they score the goal. The Martin Pospisil goal gets them on the board. They kind of took over from there, have a great first period, and they have that 2-0 lead, which propelled them the rest of the way, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it started with the fourth line. Ryan Huska starts the fourth line on the opening faceoff, and I don't know if you saw it, but the video from the Flames when Ryan Huska announced in the dressing room that they would be starting, and just the energy that gave the group. Obviously, Ryan Lomberg was pretty jazzed, and if you go watch the video, it's pretty awesome. But that kind of energy, that's the way that they played in that first period, and they were absolutely dominant, maybe one of their best periods of the entire season. But, you know, you look at the ice time and the way that it was, you know, evened out and deployed in the first, and it was almost even amongst all forwards. And so, you know, for me, the big difference was having all four lines. It's like they were rolling, they were mm-hmm. contributing, they stayed out of the box, and everybody got into the game and was doing their job. So I think that just shows the importance of that fourth line. But the entire group, the entire team, and Ryan Huska said it after the game against the Sharks, they had to play with a lot more pace, a lot more physicality. That's exactly what they did in that first period. And I mean, I wasn't sure if they were going to be able to keep it up for a full 60, and you know, at the end of the day, they weren't, but still found a way to hold on and come away with 2 points, and that's impressive.
At the end of the day, Mick, I mean, the Capitals are one of the highest scoring teams in the NHL. If you're going to beat them, you're going to need a good goaltending performance, and you might need 30 block shots, which is what the Flames had tonight. But what did you look? I mean, we know who the Capitals are. We know how good this group is. They sit first overall in the Eastern Conference for a reason. What did you make of the way the Flames defended after period number one? What did you make of the way the Flames protected the 2-goal lead?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously they knew that the Capitals, like, they have the ability, even if you have a period like the Capitals did in the first where they weren't at their best, that they have the ability to kind of flip a switch and turn things up. And I think, you know, for them, they're a team, if you let them get through the neutral zone, just being in the offensive zone, you know that they're going to create some pretty dangerous opportunities. So I thought that the Flames were just a little bit loose in their coverage in the neutral zone, but then also ending up in the penalty box. So that, you know, helped the momentum shift in the other direction in the Capitals' favor, I would say, just not being quite as diligent in their structure in the neutral zone, but then being a little bit less disciplined as well. But overall, I mean, we talk about the block shots, but I think that, you know, you're able to do that when you're collapsing to the front of the net. And mm-hmm. that's another thing they did a really good job of was, you know, defensemen and forwards. And, you know, when pucks were headed towards the net, you know, the group sort of collapses down, and then it's either a block shot or if a rebound pops out, then they're able to clear those pucks and preventing second and third opportunities. So I thought that that was huge as well. And Dan Vladar makes the first save when the shots do get through, but then they clear pucks, clear traffic. And I thought that they did a really good job of that to prevent further opportunities.
Let's select the hardest working Flame after this one tonight, Mick. The Flames with a hard working 3-1 victory on the road in Washington. Which way are you leaning for a hardest working Flame tonight?
Yeah, I want to give honorable mention to Dan Vladar, obviously, with just the way that he played and coming in. And, I mean, you put a lot of pressure on yourself, I think. And Jason LaBarbera mentioned that before Vladar started in the game against Seattle. When you don't play a lot as a goaltender, you put a lot of pressure on yourself to really perform and to win. So for him to have that amount of pressure on him in this game and to play the way that he did, I thought was really impressive and just shows what a competitor he is. But I thought a driver in this game and a real disruptor with seven hits was Martin Pospisil, and he has been to me just a game changer on that fourth line and the one that's made a difference in kind of giving them their identity back. So I thought that he was physical, he was all over the ice, he scored a goal, wasn't pretty, went off his foot.
You'll take
Who cares?
It though.
Who cares? They don't ask how. So I'm going to give it to Martin Pospisil.
Martin Pospisil, your hardest working Flame tonight. And that's two straight games where that line has been an impact maker. And, you know, Mick, it had been like, I don't know, 30, 35 straight games where they hadn't been an impact maker. And now two straight games with a goal. And both goals end up being a big one. One of them gives him the lead for the first time in the San Jose game. On this night tonight, it was their first lead, and their, you know, they didn't look back with the lead from there on out. How much of a key is putting Pospisil on that trio? You think that has been the biggest key as to why all of a sudden they're getting contributions and good minutes out of that line?
Yeah, I mean, you can put him there, but he has to do the job that he's put there to do. So right. I think that that has been the difference, is that he's bought into what the coaching staff wants him to do, and that's to play with speed up and down the wing to get pucks in deep and to be physical and disruptive on the forecheck in the offensive zone. And so I think that he's just executed really well exactly what they want him to do. And then I think Ryan Lomberg and Kevin Rooney have elevated their game and raised it to the level of Martin Pospisil. So he's made those two better, I think. But, you know, what a difference maker it is when you have your fourth line out there playing that way with that much energy. Like, when your fourth line scores a goal, it's kind of like when Joel Hanley scores a goal. Everybody gets extra excited, and it provides the entire team with that much more energy. And now that's two games straight that they have been able to do that, and playing that way gives the entire group that much more energy to feed off of. But, you know, you also look at the minutes that Jonathan Huberdeau and Nazem Kadri played in this hockey game versus the Capitals, and comparing that to against the San Jose Sharks. So, you know, the fourth line, their minutes were up. Lomberg was at 10 and a half minutes, looking at Kevin Rooney, just over 10. Martin Pospisil with 12. And that bumps down Jonathan Huberdeau, his minutes, and Nazem Kadri. They were at 22, 23 minutes. Tonight, Huberdeau was at 17 40, Nazem Kadri at 18-12. And that is much more sustainable to have those guys playing, you know, 17, 18 minutes versus 22-23, especially you look at the schedule the Flames have coming up. 27 and 54 coming out of the break, and now this road trip. So when you can dial those minutes back for top guys, just kind of spread them out a little bit more, that's huge for the team. But you can't do that unless the fourth line is playing well and getting the job done. They are, and it's benefiting everyone.
Last thought, Mick, and that's the Tampa game that's next. I mean, one game at a time, right? They got the first one, knocked one off, five to go. But you can't go 6-for-6 if you don't win the next one, right? So that's the mentality. You're up for Tampa Bay. That's your next test.
Yeah, I think it's just, yeah, I mean, you line them up and you knock them down, and the Lightning just beat the Oilers 4-1, so they'll be feeling pretty good about their game in beating the Oilers. And you know, I think the Flames should take a lot of confidence from this game. You mentioned the Capitals. They're one of the best teams in the NHL, the best team in 2025 when you look at their data analytics, stats, and whatnot. So they should take a lot of confidence from this one, and knowing if they can beat the Capitals, they can keep this thing rolling. But like you said, it's just one game at a time.
Thanks, Mick. We will talk to you on Flames Talk tomorrow on Wednesday. Enjoy the rest of your evening, hey?
Thanks. You too, Pat.
Megan Mickelson, the color voice of the Flames, signing off on this Tuesday night following a Flames 3-1 win over the Washington Capitals. What a great way to start off this road trip. Hey, the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text line open at 960-960. Flames Talk postgame on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll get to the phone line shortly, get to the text line shortly, but it's time to go from the Flames dressing room. Brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Here's head coach Ryan Huska postgame after a huge 3-1 win on the road in Washington.
That's what impressed you the most about tonight, the effort from your group.
There was a lot tonight. I loved our start. I thought we had a lot of guys that were courageous tonight with the shot blocking. I thought our fourth line was good. I thought our goaltending was really good. So there was a lot to like from our group tonight. It was a good team game.
Yeah, the impetus behind starting the fourth line.
What was it?
Yeah.
I thought they had a really good game the night before. We had to play with some energy in here tonight. I thought that was important for us. And they're very well-liked players in our dressing room. I know the camera was in there, and you could see how excited the guys were when they got the start, and they did an unreal job for us tonight. So they'll probably get another one here soon.
Can we get that one in the third to make it a one-goal game? How big was it for you guys to just knock it off right there? Because they've had a propensity for really having big third periods this year.
Important, and you always look to your main guys, I guess, too, and ours scored a big goal for us to give us that two-goal lead again. So with Huberto finding a way to score, I think it took a little bit of the pressure off us in that situation, so that was important on our part for sure.
Big start, obviously, for Vladar and the way that he responded with that opportunity here tonight.
I thought he was excellent. But, you know, most of his starts over the last little while have been like that. Even you look at the game in Seattle, the last one that he was in Seattle, he was really good for us again. So he's a very good goaltender, and you know, he'd probably like to have a few more starts at this point of the season. And to be quite honest with you, there's been some nights where he's deserved to go back in again. He's just done a really good job, and he's been a really supportive teammate.
Can you describe, I know it's one game and it's the start of a long road trip, but just the significance of starting that way to begin this trip?
I think it matters. This is a tough place to play, and finding a way to get 2 points out of here is a big thing. So I'd like our guys to enjoy it for a couple hours, and then we don't have a lot of time, so we're going to have to shift gears tomorrow and get ready for our next one. Okay, thank you.
There you go. That is head coach Ryan Huska postgame following a big one, a huge 2-1 win on the road, a 3-1 win rather on the road over the Washington Capitals, and a solid night for Dan Vladar as well. Dan Vladar makes 26 stops on 27 Washington shots, and there were some real quality ones in this game as well. Ryan Huska from the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art smart Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Lots more talk about Vladar. Lots more talk about the win. Lots more talk about Kevin Ball's return and the start of a road trip. Lots to get to as our Flames Talk postgame show is underway. Call now, 403-240-4444. Text now, 960-960. If you want to chat, jump in line right now. Would love to hear from you. We've got lots to talk about this evening. More trips inside the Flames locker room. A lot of you still to come. We'll get to your texts, phone calls, and more when we come back. Tonight's game has been brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. And this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Flames used their game in hand on Vancouver and in the process moved back into a Western Conference playoff spot. They do that with a 3-1 win on the road against the Eastern Conference leading Washington Capitals. And hey, did so for a number of different reasons. I mean, I think the number one reason they win this hockey game is their first period, one of their best periods of the year. And they really, I thought the first 10 minutes of the first period was really structured and really well played, but fairly even. And then all of a sudden, the Flames, who really worked hard in that first period, worked for a break and got the 1-0 goal. And it was a frustrating one for Washington because it was a deflection, then off a skate. The Caps thought it was kicked in. I don't think it was. I think Pospisil didn't know the puck was coming towards him, so how can he be doing a kicking motion, right? So that was clearly a good goal, and it ends up being a good goal. Flames take a 1-0 lead. And then Washington showed some frustration. Flames jumped all over that frustration, scored again, the eventual game winner from Coronado, 2-0 Flames after 20, and they're in good shape. And I thought they did a really nice job of riding that through the rest of the night. And they definitely had to move into defensive posture. Washington woke up and they really started to take it to the Flames. In the final 40 minutes of play, the Capitals had a 5-on-5 edge in shot attempts of 42-18. So they really took over the final 40 minutes of play. But on those 42 shot attempts, just 7 high-danger scoring chances. So, you know, the Flames did a nice job of keeping the Capitals to the outside. Obviously, Vladar was there when he needed to be, too. We'll talk about Dan in just a second. Fourth line, really strong start. Good game for them. Lomberg, Pospisil, Rooney, second straight, really strong night for them. And they deserve a big tip of the hat. And that was a big reason why the Flames got off to the good start they got off to. And you know what? Sometimes you have to be comfortable defending. And you have to be comfortable being in your own zone against a team that scores like Washington does. And I think the Flames did do that. Like, you're not always going to want to play games where you're blocking 30 shots. But on this night, when you're up 2-0, the other team wakes up and the other team starts to get rolling and the other team starts to really engage their offensive game. Yeah, sometimes you got to be comfortable playing in your own zone and defending for long periods of time. Again, it's not an ideal way to play night in, night out, but sometimes on the road, to start off a road trip against a team sitting first in the Eastern Conference, you got to weather a storm. And the Flames did a nice job of weathering the storm for a good chunk of the final 40 minutes of play. Rasmus Anderson had 8 block shots tonight. Eric Francis on Twitter pointed out that 6 of those blocks were on Alex Ovechkin. The grade 8, who did score in this game, comes away with 19 shot attempts. 7 of those shots were blocked. He missed 7 and got 5 on net. Alex Ovechkin was superb in this game, but could only score the 1 goal, and it came on the power play early in the third. And the last thing that I'd say before we get to Dan Vladar and his strong game is I did think the Flames did a nice job of not panicking and getting back to just a calm type of hockey game after Ovechkin made it 2-1. Like that, we have seen nights even this season where all of a sudden a team gets back into it and the crowd gets into it, and then all of a sudden the Flames kind of panic and the other team smells blood and takes advantage of it. Didn't see that tonight. I thought after Ovechkin scored the power play goal to make it 2-1, Capitals were right back in it. Crowd was right back in it. Flames did a nice job of making sure the game went back to their pace and the type of game they're comfortable playing. That was also really important tonight. And then, of course, Dan Vladar, there was a lot of uproar. There was a lot of conversation about Dan Vladar getting the start this morning when we found out that's who was going to get the start. And look, I was as surprised as anybody that Vladar did start tonight. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say that I expected it. But then you check in with a couple of people and you check in and talk to some of your sources and some of the people that you're comfortable with. Both guys need to stay fresh down the stretch, and they feel like with as much hockey as they're going to be playing between now and the end of the season, that they need to keep both their goaltenders fresh and not have one guy sit out way too long. As it was 23 days between starts for Dan Vladar, February 2nd to February 25th. If Vladar hadn't gone until the second half of the back-to-back on this trip on Sunday, then you're talking about a full month between games. You're talking about February 2nd to March 2nd. So, you know, once you thought about it and once you heard that explanation, you're like, okay, that makes a little bit more sense. And Ryan Huska, Jason LaBarbera, Jordan Sigalette, they all look pretty smart for going Vladar tonight because he was strong, made the stops he needed to, made a couple of big ones. There were 14 high-danger chances created by Washington tonight, and a good chunk of those got on net, and Vladar only allowed the one goal, and it comes to the greatest goal scorer in the history of the game on the power play. I think Dan Vladar definitely deserves a tip of the hat for the way he played as well. That leads us to tonight's Save of the Game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. And Dan Vladar's Save of the Game comes in period at number 3.
Here comes Chychrun. Crosses the red line. And now the Flames' blue line. Loses it. Finds it. And backs it up to the blue line to Carlson, who slaps one towards the net. Eller the redirect, and Vladar makes a terrific stop.
And that ends up being one of the 26 stops made by Dan Vladar tonight. That's his Save of the Game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes donates $5 to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com, the better way to build. Let's hear from Dan Vladar post-game in Washington following his second consecutive win and a big one against the Capitals.
I mean, obviously that was our goal. Long break, watching a lot of hockey, and we couldn't wait to get back on the ice. And obviously, really, really tough road trip for us. So we know what we are going to play against, and I think that this is a really good start. And I'm so impressed with our first period. I thought the guys did an unbelievable job, and especially our fourth line. You know, when you have Ryan Lomberg starting, that you know you just have to have energy because he's such energizing guy. So super happy for every single guy on our team.
It seemed to set the tempo for your group, like that first shift, and then obviously the period that followed.
100%. You know, as I said, if you have Lomby starting, that there's no way you can have energy.
What about, you know, your night? Because early on didn't get a lot of, you know, shots, and then obviously that changed in the second. Just maybe take me through kind of your perspective.
I mean, that's my job here, right? Stop a puck, and it doesn't matter if it's 20 shots a period or two. You know, you just gotta focus on next shot. And I thought that guys did a really good job in front of me tonight, blocking shots, and it was a lot of fun playing behind them from tonight.
It seemed like Rasmus ate a whole lot of pucks for you tonight, too.
He did, and I'm pretty sure he's going to let me know, too. He's going to want dinner and on this road trip, so it might cost me a little bit.
How tough is it stopping out, especially? I mean, you made a few saves on a shot like that. There's almost nothing you can do.
Well, I was cheating a little bit, but there's a reason why he has so many goals like that. And, you know, obviously, it's going to be a story for my kids one day that, you know, a player like this scored on me. But obviously, at that moment, you don't appreciate it. And, you know, I'm happy we just played twice against them.
What does this do for the group just to start off a trip of this length and significance the right way?
I mean, we just beat the first team in the league, right? So we're going to be proud of ourselves. But only till midnight tonight, we know that it is a really tough trip for us. And, you know, lots of really good teams that we are going to face in the next 2 weeks. So we just got to refocus tomorrow, enjoy tonight, have a good meal. And, you know, since tomorrow, when tomorrow's going to start, we just got to get back, humble, and just get ready to go again.
For you personally, what does this do for your confidence?
Oh, I mean, I'm just doing my job here, you know, trying to, if I play, I do my best. If I don't play, I do my best supporting Wolfie. So nothing's changing for me. And, you know, I just can't be too high or can't be too low. You just got to stay steady for the whole season because, you know, it's the NHL best league in the world, so it can come back. too real quickly.
There you go. That is Dan Vladar. Post game comes away with 26 stops on 27 shots. Flames win this game 3-1 as they kick off this road trip in style. And that's a great way to get a gauntlet of a six-gamer underway. More trips inside the Flames locker room to come. It's our Flames Talk post-game show on this Tuesday night. Steinberg along with you. Let's get to the text line for the first time tonight. This says, wow, can we start to give Vladar some love now? Incredible. I think we just spent a good 5 minutes doing or more doing just that. Mike from McKenzie Lake, I got to be honest, I did not have this win on my bingo card. Great team effort. Think it's critical the team take this trip one game at a time, and hopefully they can walk away with 7 or 8 points. How many do you think they'll get on this trip? Well, I said 7 was successful, so they got 5 more games to go to get 7 points now. They just need 2 more wins. So, hey, they're in a good spot to do that. You know, I think they can probably, I think they can at this point, starting it off with a win, I think they can easily go 3-2-1 at this point. So, yeah, I think 7-8 points is not unrealistic when it comes to the rest of this trip, especially starting it off in Washington with a win. Scotty in Victoria says, what can I say? That was a tough, gritty, and beautiful win against the oh-so-powerful Ovechkin and the Capitals. Bonus, they got to be a part of history with Ovi's 30th of the season and 883rd goal all-time, although a Vladar shutout would have been nice. Fourth line is seriously impressive. Could it perhaps be the best fourth line in the NHL? I think so, but I'm biased. Scotty, the only thing I'd say is that it was, and I'm not trying to be, I'm not trying to speak in hyperboles, but like it was completely ineffective for about 3 straight months. Since the break, it's been good. Prior to the break, it was like the fourth line wasn't the fourth line wasn't very good at all. But the last 2 games, Lomberg's been a consistent one there, but Rooney was struggling. They you know, whether it was Klapka or whoever they put on that line, wasn't playing very well on a regular basis. Since the break, Lomberg continues to be a real positive. Obviously, Pospisil has done the job and really played to his identity since jumping onto that line, and Rooney has gotten the job done as well. So, best fourth line in the league after 2 good games? Maybe not, but really good performances the last couple of games from the fourth line. Kyle says, good game. That's all. Win's a win. As Huska said, find points any way they can. Mike, 1 down, 5 to go. Great road game by the Flames against one of the best teams in the league. Seb and McKenzie, I'm not too proud to admit I was wrong. I thought starting Vladar was a big mistake, but the team from Vladar out stepped up in a big way against the Capitals. Character win and a fantastic start to the road trip. And hey, that's good. I mean, I think a lot of people are wrong about the decision to, even me, I said that prior to the game, that probably wouldn't have been the decision I would make, but I understood the reasoning to go to Vladar, and turns out that reasoning, well, it worked out pretty well. He played well, and on top of that, gave a night off for Wolf, and Wolf will be fresh and ready to rock for a really tough test against Tampa Bay on Thursday night. Mark in Cornerstone, I'm usually pretty hard on Vladar, but he played great tonight. I've also heard rumors about a potential Vladar trade. Do you know anything about this? Well, I think if there is an offer that makes sense and there is a return that makes sense, I think the Flames would be okay in trading Vladar, but I don't think there's anything imminent as of right now. Javier says, I think this is the first time this year the Flames have played a well-rounded, end-to-end, complete team effort in front of Vladar. If they continue with that type of performance, they will not only make the playoffs, but they'll be a dark horse in the playoffs and will make waves all the way to the finals. Whoa, Javier. What a grit-filled game. Ovechkin had a few good chances, and the fact he scored on only 1 is remarkable. Vladdy played well, and what the heck happened to Coleman? He was a total beast tonight. So happy with this win and looking forward to the next few weeks. Javier bought right in, calling it all the way to the finals after this one. Wedley says, Pat, why didn't Huska listen to Flames Twitter? They know all. Congrats, Dan the Man. That comes from Wedley in Bridalwood. Leland and McKenzie, Pat, that was such a great start to the road trip. Loved the fourth line energy. And what about that shot from Coronado? Yeah, he absolutely killed that puck past Logan Thompson. Trent says, Pat, happy with the win. I would have supported playing the game without a goalie in hopes Ovechkin would get 14 just to mess with the whining one. Gretzky could never get the oil stink out for me. I respect what he did, but I still hate him. That's a true, that's a tried and true Flames fan in Trent right there. David and Hawkwood. I don't know what that is. I'm not quite sure what this is talking about. Oh, here he goes. David and Hawkwood. Hopefully that effort from Dan Vladar and the team in front of him quiets the naysayers, Steinberg, Wills. Show a little support for your team. There's nothing wrong with critique, but balance is equally as important. Continual repetition of something doesn't make it so. I don't know what you're talking about, Dave, at all, but I think this program has been pretty darn positive about the team. I think Wills, quite positive about the team. Me, generally quite positive about the team. So, David, I have no idea what you're talking about, but your opinion is your opinion. Kevin and Med Hat, just loving some Kelly Rudy on that text. This says, Pat, it's crazy what a competent fourth line can do. Safe to say, Pospisil might have been the missing piece they needed. This role seems like the perfect fit for him. He's playing his aggressive style, finishing hits, getting pucks deep, and even contributing offensively with a goal while driving to the net. He's even managed to make Kevin Rooney a positive factor for the team so far, which is saying something. The energy and effectiveness of that line has been a noticeable improvement. What are your thoughts on how this group has come together? I do think Pospisil joining that fourth line is really important and a big part of what that line has been able to do. On top of that, I agree more than anything about the text that says like what having four lines all of a sudden can do for a team. And that I think is crucial. All of a sudden you're a four line team and you're not relying on only a few guys and you're not kind of having a black hole every once in a while when that line goes out there, which unfortunately had been the case for far too long. I thought that that was a huge part of it. The fact that they could play that line on a regular basis. They played 7-15 as a line tonight and excelled. I thought the Kadri-Huberdeau line had their moments. The Backlund line had its moments. I thought the Frost line had its moments. But the only line to finish in the black tonight or positive on the possession side was the Rooney line with Lomberg and Pospisil. The Kadri line, 41.7%. Frost line, 45.5%. Backlund line, 32%. Now, the Backlund line saw a ton of, like, almost exclusively defensive starts. And the Rooney line saw exclusively O-zone starts outside of some neutral zone ones. No defensive zone starts for that line, but still. That was a really good performance, and yeah, it's amazing what having a fourth line can do that you are comfortable in playing like the Flames have been the last couple of games. Okay, text line, keep them coming at 960-960. Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk post-game show as the Flames take a 3-1 win on the road in Washington. And now to the phone lines we go, 403-240-4444. Flames Talk's available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Buff is kicking us off on the text line tonight. What's going on, Buff?
I'm not texting, I'm calling.
How we doing? Well, welcome to the
I'm
show.
Good. Yeah, good game tonight. I really like what I saw. Of course, Corn Dog, nice goal, hard work. Seen him work both sides of the ice there. And Rask, man, he was awesome. Vladar was awesome. You know, and of course, just a little criticism on our power play. You know, I think we're more effective if we got someone standing right on top of the crease. You know, I think our opportunities come a bit more. You know, but again, that's just me. That's a little old school. I think when we set up on the perimeter, we come very predictable. And, you know, and when we do that, sometimes we're passing pucks right into the skates, stuff like that. It's just, but, you know, it's coming. It's definitely coming, full team effort. And I guess one thing I want to say and discuss with you is March 7th, around the corner.
Yes.
And I don't think there's any pressure. You know, but if there is, you know, like in my view, I don't know, Vladar could be gone, Kadri could be gone. And if they have to move, like I have no problem getting more draft picks or top prospects for that. You know, I think honestly Vladar would, I know Roddy Brind'Amour, I'm sure he'd love to have a guy like Vladar, you know, in Carolina, you know, as they make their push. And, you know, Kadri, like who wouldn't want that guy on their team? You know, he gets the puck to the middle. He works hard every game. You know, he's making his team really complete, too. So, you know, those are the two I'm kind of concerned about. But if they have to move, hope we get some prospects or some real good draft picks.
I wouldn't hold your breath on Kadri unless they're out of it, which I don't think they're going to be, and unless there's an offer that really blows the Flames out of the water. I don't think Kadri's moving between now and the trade deadline. On top of that, he's got 5 years left or 4 years left on his deal after this year at $7 million. So I don't see that being overly realistic. You know, Vladar, if they get an offer that they can't refuse, like if somebody offers them a second round pick, I think they'd be open to moving Vladar. But otherwise, I think that they would really like to keep Devin Cooley playing a ton of games with the Wranglers and let him continue to develop the rest of this season and have Cooley be an NHL option next season. I think this is what they ideally would be thinking. And then let Wolf continue to be the number one and Vladar get in some games and hopefully give him some good performances in the final 25. So I think Vladar is a more likely guy that would be dealt than Kadri, but I would honestly, Buff, I'd be less than 50% on both those guys being dealt before the deadline.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that, you know, because the boys are working. You know, there was a little off chemistry when the Ferbey and Frost came in, but I think they found it again, you know, and it's a full-on four-man effort. You know, like, you look at how my buddy Gronk, I call him Gronk, Rooney's playing. Like, man, the kid's fast. He's on the forecheck. He's sacrificing. He's doing what he can. And, you know, he got a goal the other game. You know, and I think there's a definitely solid balance within the four lines. And it's just, I don't mind going in to the dog days here with the team we have.
Well, I think we're kind of out of the dog days now. I think now that the break is done, everybody's back, and the Flames are in a playoff chase with now 25 to go. I think dog days are done. I think we're into the official stretch drive now with the second half of the season. Final quarter of the season very fast approaching.
Your dog days are different than my dog days because the dog days I went through are time to put the shoulder right into it.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah, but yeah, thanks anyway.
Okay, you be well. Have a great night. Thanks, Buff.
You too.
Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Come chat with us on Flames Talk postgame on this Tuesday night. Flames win at 3-1 on the road in Washington. George is with us. What's up, George?
Not much, Patty. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm okay.
Good, good. That was a very impressive victory against the current number one team in the league.
Number two team in the league.
Oh, they're number two now? Wow.
Yeah, Winnipeg passed them.
Who's ahead of them? Winnipeg?
Yeah, Winnipeg passed them last night. But number one team in the East.
Fair enough. Anyway, how about this? I guess what we can both agree is an elite team.
They. I'm still not sure what Washington is, but they are a high-scoring team, and the Flames did a nice job of not allowing them to be a high-scoring team tonight. And they're playing. I'm still not exactly sure what they are, especially come playoff time, but they're a team that sits on top of their division and on top of their conference. So they're a pretty good team.
Yeah. And the Flames, like I said, that was one of their best first periods all year. And then Washington brought it after, but Calgary did a really good job. You know, for all the flack Rasmus Anderson has had lately for not, you know, being up to par like he was the first quarter of the season, I thought he had a hell of a game tonight, and it looked like he was blocking everything that came his way tonight. Like, that was actually a crazy good game by Anderson tonight.
This is one of his best games in a long time. I thought that he was, especially in the defensive zone, was really, really strong. And I think having Kev, they got a ton of defensive responsibility in this game, and definitely that played into why they spent so much time defending in this game. But I did think it was one of the better games of late, from Rasmus Anderson.
Yeah, most definitely was. And I have to give big props to Dan Vladar. You know, he's caught a lot of heat all year from a lot of people, and I've been a staunch defender of him all year. Yes, he currently is the backup of this team, but through the first quarter of the season, he split starts with Wolf, and like a good veteran does, you know, he got all the hard games, he got the back-to-backs, he really helped in the process of sheltering a rookie Dustin Wolf, and is still an important part of this team. And there's a big part of me, Patty, well, honestly, I hope they don't trade him at the trade deadline, and I understand it's very unlikely he'll be back with the Flames next year. And they're positioning Devin Cooley to kind of take that spot next year. But, and this, again, this will kind of sound a little bit hypocritical of me to say, because I'm all for trying to get assets for people, not letting them walk, but I'd almost be okay with it with him, just because unless you get a blowaway offer, I wouldn't trade him at the deadline.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that unless you're going to get something really, really strong for him, I do think that at this point, it might be the better play to keep Vladar for the rest of the season, just because you know that he can take some difficult starts. You kind of know what to expect. And the other thing, I think Cooley would give him some great minutes as well. I think that there's so much more value in keeping Cooley in the American League the rest of this year and just having him play some big minutes down there, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm with you there. The return of Zarian Ball has really, really helped overall, but I really think it's helped our depth more than anything now that we've acquired Frost and Therapy, because now the fourth line has benefited greatly from that. And, you know, now you have a fourth line of Lomberg, Rooney, and I think Pospisil was really, we always said, right, we were having discussions about what can we do to kind of fix this fourth line? Who do we call up? Be it Hunt, be it Bishop. You know, we've tried all these people. And we even, you and I have even spoken to the fact that they need to try every and exhaust every option internally. And now that they have that depth back, you know, Pospisil has been the perfect person there. So that's good, because maybe it prevents them from getting that person in a trade, even if you give up like a fifth, sixth round pick, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I still think that you could make a very, very easy argument that a right shot center could really help this group on their fourth line. But I do think so far what we've seen from Martin Pospisil in two games on that line has been strong. So if you continue seeing this, maybe that mitigates the need to go and try to find somebody. I'm just taking a look at Rooney in the faceoff dot tonight. Like, Rooney still struggled 3-6, so 33% in the faceoff dot tonight. The only guy who finished over 50% in terms of regular faceoff takers was Backlund, who went 13-7 tonight. So I just I still think that you could make a real salient argument that going and finding a right shot center could help this fourth line. But that doesn't change the fact that it's been a nice fit since Pospisil has been put there the last two games.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And honestly, Patty, I wouldn't be opposed to that, because let's be honest, a right shot fourth line center is not going to cost you much, even at the deadline.
I actually disagree. I think it's actually going to cost you quite a whole lot more than you might think. And I'm not trying to be contrarian on you at all. I really do think that it's going to be a pretty expensive piece, because everybody's going to be looking for that.
So when you say expensive, what do you think? You think a third round pick, a second round pick?
Yeah. Like, I think we might be talking about some prices like that. I think some of the names that I've identified myself, like Ty Dellandrea, Luke Kunin, Sam Lafferty, like, I'm thinking like, I don't know if you're getting any of those guys for less than a third round pick and maybe more.
You make a good point. We'll see. Let's see the position they're going to be in by the trade deadline. They're off to a great start. Very impressive win. But, you know, they just got to keep it rolling, because, you know, you got five more to go and all five are going to be difficult. Even the Philadelphia game, you know, that's one of those ones you call a quote-unquote trap game, you know. So,
well, the other thing about that game, George, is that it'll be Pelche and Kuzmenko playing against their former team, and also be a big night for Frost and Farabee playing against their former teams. So there's going to be motivation on both sides for that one.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we'll see. On to the next one, my man. Thank you for having me on. I hope you have a good night.
Thank you, George. You be well, pal.
Yes, sir. You too.
Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Flames win at 3-2 on the road in Washington. 3-1, rather, on the road in Washington tonight to kick off this six-game road trip in style and with a victory. Wes is up next. What's up, Wes?
Nah, not much. How about you, Pat?
I'm doing all right.
Good to hear. So, just one observation that I'd like to make is it just seems to me that there's always kind of an adjustment for younger players of just the grind of an 82-game season. And I know San Jose, the San Jose game, it maybe wasn't as nice as you would have liked it, but I think that break kind of served a lot of players well, just to kind of get back on the horse and refreshed.
I agree. I think that's huge for I think it's huge for the vast majority of the veterans, because obviously only the one player went to the Four Nations in Rasmus Anderson. But I also think for some of the younger players, it was big as well. Whether it's a Matt Coronado or Connor Zary, of course, was recovering from the injury. But I think that absolutely you're taking a look at some guys that I think this could have been Dustin Wolf, really important for. So look, the San Jose game was kind of one of those nights where you almost telegraphed it being a not so sexy night, but they found a way to win it, and then obviously had a great first period, got some good goaltending, and won a game in Washington tonight.
Yeah, and it's good to see Vladar doing well as well. Like, I know the previous caller there, he was kind of talking about it too. He's kind of got the short end of the stick on everything, and so it's kind of nice to get a W for him against a good team too.
Say that one more time.
I said it's just it's nice that they got a W for Vladar.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, just because he's had a lot of hard starts and he's kind of gotten a short end of the stick of everything, right? So,
that's now two straight games that he started with a win too. So, that can't be understated when talking about Dan Vladar either. And they got the win for him. Kind of similar games, right? They got the win for him in Seattle with a great start, and then the Kraken pushed back, got within one, and ended up losing that game 3-2, I think. And then great start again tonight, and then Vladar had to be tested a whole lot more in the back 40 and did the job. So that's two straight quality starts for Dan Vladar, and I think that you're super confident going back to him. I would imagine you go to him Sunday against Carolina.
Well, and I got to tell you too, is having two goalies that are playing pretty well, well behind you and stuff like that, has got to be some good confidence for the stretch run here too.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Thanks, Pat.
Well, you have yourself a great night. Call back anytime, Wes. Appreciate the time.
All right. Talk to you later.
Let's say hello to Derek at 403-240-4444, following a Flames 3-1 win on the road in Washington. Derek, what's going on?
Oh, hey. First of all, I'm wondering if there's any thought about Ryan Huska being considered as coach of the year, because I watched the show, on TV, and they showed a little clip in the post game there, the pregame, where he announced Lombo starting, Lombo's line starting. And I just feel like he's pushing all the right buttons. What do you think, Pat?
I do think he's pushed a ton of right buttons. Whether or not that's enough to get him into the Jack Adams finalist conversation, I don't know. I mean, it's a strange one. I mean, that's voted on by broadcasters. So the all the, 60-plus play-by-play guys, 60-plus color people. So it's like 100, I think it's like 150, 120, something like that, votes on the Jack Adams, I think is the way it ends up going. I think Spencer Carberry in Washington is going to get a lot of, I think Spencer Carberry and Scott Arneil in Washington and Winnipeg are going to run away with the voting. And then we'll see where it goes from there. Does Bruce Cassidy in Vegas get some votes? Does a guy like Ryan Huska, because a lot of times you see guys who are coaching surprises get a little bit of a look. You wonder about Ottawa, you wonder about the jobs being done in Columbus. So I think Carberry and Arneil are going to be shoe-ins, and I think one of those two will end up winning the Jack Adams. But could there be a third vote there, or a third finalist there for Ryan Huska? I don't think that's out of the question.
Yeah, well, all I want to say is that I believe that he has done the right job. And if there was a award for General Manager of the Year, I think Connie's got a real shot at that too. There isn't, I know, but buttons are being pushed.
Here's what I would say on Conroy. They don't vote for GM of the Year until after the second round of the playoffs. And almost 100% of the time, three of the GMs are from the Final Four. So like it's almost clockwork that the three GMs who get named for the GM of the Year award come from the three of the four teams in the Final Four. So if you want Craig Conroy to be GM of the Year, Flames are going to need to make it to the Western Conference Final.
Well, that's a fair statement, Pat. I just think that is very skewed. Because
I find it very silly because every other award you vote after the end of the regular season, but for whatever reason, GM of the Year, you vote after the second round, and then obviously Conn Smythe, you vote after the Stanley Cup Final. But I don't understand why they do GM of the Year after the second round of the playoffs and why the Coach of the Year is after the regular season and all the other awards. It's very strange to me.
Yeah, well, and actually I'm glad you said that, Pat, because I actually wasn't sure there was an award for GM of the Year, but you're telling me there is, so that's good.
There is indeed an award. It's called the Jim Gregory General Manager of the Year Award. They have been running that since 2009-2010. The last two years, it's been Jim Nill of the Dallas Stars that has been the GM of the
that
year.
That makes sense. A good Calgary boy, or for sure at least a Canadian.
Good Alberta boy for sure. Not quite Calgary, but good Alberta boy.
Yeah, absolutely. I have friends that actually are related to him. One last point. Very, very thrilled to see what I would agree with some people saying, Johnny Power Forward. Mr. Huberto, finally coming into his own. We all know he'll never be a 115-point guy again, not with the team he has around him. But love to see that he is actually becoming a different player and a better player. And I do believe him and Kadri need to stay in Calgary. We need those guys to help to continue to grow the young team that we're building.
I think that you're going to see that happen. I really do.
Excellent. And don't let Dan Vladar go. And maybe he should start the next game. Just a thought.
It'll be Wolf on Thursday. I thought it was going to be Wolf tonight too, but I'm pretty sure it'll be Wolf on Thursday. But I don't think they're going to be trading Vladar. But I would say like less than 50% they trade Vladar in my eyes before the trade deadline. Now, whether or not they re-sign him at the end of the year is a different question. But I think there's a pretty good chance that Vladar is the guy for the rest of the year.
Well, and I agree because he's the absolute backbone to keep the Wolf going. And I agree that Cooley needs to stay and percolate.
Well, and this is the first time Cooley's ever been a number one in pro hockey. He's already played far more this year than he has in any other year. And so I think there's a lot of value in that and a lot of value in him continuing to be there and continuing to rack up the minutes. And then next year, I think there's a really interesting conversation about Cooley and Wolf as your tandem for next year.
Oh, and I totally agree because you look at how Wolf has become this year, and it's because he, the team went with the Detroit model of keeping him, down on the farm and getting to the point that he's at. And I agree that Cooley could get there and maybe even be the guy of the future as well.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for taking my call, Pat. You guys have a great night and go Flames, go.
Thank you, Derek. You have yourself a great night. I'm just on the GM of the Year award. Last year it was Patrick Alvin. So Dallas went out in round three this year. Is that right? Did Dallas lose to Edmonton in the Western Conference Final? Azam, help me with that if my memory serves me correctly. I'm just going to go look it up right now. Yes, it was Dallas. So Dallas, good memory, Steinberg. It was only like 8 months ago. So it was Jim Nill, it was Patrick Alvin in Vancouver, and Bill Zito in Florida. Those were your three finalists last year. So not quite Final Four, but you had Alvin, who got the Canucks, or was the GM of the Canucks, who got to game 7 of round 2. Then you had Zito, who was in the Eastern Conference Final with the Florida Panthers, and they have obviously won the Stanley Cup. And you had Jim Nill, who was GM of the Dallas Stars, who were also in the Western Conference Final last year. Usually it goes three of the final four end up being your GM of the year because the voting happens after the second round. Hey, phone lines are open. Got a few lines open if you want to chat tonight at 403-240-4444. Flames win at 3-1 over Washington tonight. Let's say hello to Anand after this 3-1 victory. What's up, Anand?
Good evening, buddy. How are you this evening?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah, fantastic win tonight. Didn't really expect this one, but great first period, like everybody has been saying, completely outplayed, I guess, the Washington Capitals, especially in the first period. I got a little bit scared when Ovechkin scored that power play goal, but then, like you said, the Flames held it tight. A couple questions for you. I know you talked about it briefly already, but what do you think has positively changed the fourth line? Is it that one, A, Pospisil is back on the fourth line? And B, maybe do you think now that Morgan Frost and all is there, they kind of elevate the pressure from like Rooney and all to take faceoffs? Do you think that ease of pressure so something that's improving the fourth line?
I do think Pospisil moving to the fourth line has been a huge help for sure. And I think that him embracing that role and kind of being that same guy where he's a disturber and physical and getting in hard on the forecheck, I think that has been a real boost to the fourth line and has been a big part of why they've been worlds more effective than they were prior to the break. So yeah, I think Pospisil has been a huge addition. And I also think it's maybe a little bit more well suited to where Pospisil should be playing. So yeah, I think it's been a real nice addition for him.
Yeah, 100%. And then Dan Vladar was amazing too. Loved his massive saves, key timely saves as well in the third period. One question for you, though. The power plays, I know it's just like maybe two or three games now coming back from the break, but I think the power play has dried up a little bit. Do you think you have noticed that, and any concerns on that level?
Well, I mean, they scored a big power play goal on Sunday, right? Like Kadri's goal to tie it was on the power play. So I don't know. I haven't... The power play's actually been a decent story, and I felt pretty good about the power play over the last little bit. So I don't know. I didn't love it tonight. I'll say that much. I thought that it struggled tonight, but generally I've liked the power play over the last little while. I think getting Frost on that number one unit has been a nice addition. I haven't loved Frost at 5-on-5 at all times, but I've definitely liked him quite a bit on the power play. So I don't know. Anand. Like I certainly think like there is something to, there's been a step forward when it comes to power play this year compared to what we've seen the last number of years.
Gotcha, fair enough. All right. Yeah, I think that's about it. Nothing much to complain other than that, especially when you beat now the second standing team, and it was an impressive win. Looking forward to playing the Tampa Bay Lightning on Thursday. Have a good night, Pat, and talk to you soon.
You have a great night, Anand. Be well, hey.
Yeah, you too. Take care. Bye.
And hey, the phone lines are open. We're clear on the phone lines right now. So if you want to jump in, you can do so at 403-240-4444. As such, I'll throw out the last call for phone calls. It is last call right now, 403-240-4444. Keep your text coming as well at 960-960, but it's last call for phone calls at 403-240-4444. Flames win at 3-1 in Washington. Let's go back inside the Flames locker room, get some more post-game reaction. We got lots of it tonight. Let's hear from Rasmus Anderson. How about those 8 blocked shots as part of a 3-1 win over the Caps? 6 of them on Ovechkin. Here's Rasmus Anderson post-game tonight.
Well, that was a steady diet of Alex Ovechkin pucks, as you kind of predicted.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's on a great chase, and, you know, you got to eat a few, and it's just the way the game went, and, you know, yeah. Now it feels good.
Now it feels good.
Yeah.
What did you make of the start from your group? Obviously the first shift and then just the way that first period went.
Yeah, I thought we were, you know, we came out ready to play and we knew we were playing a really good team that, you know, has been really good at home. So we didn't give them a whole lot in the first period and they managed to score two. And, you know, we knew they were going to come with a push in the second, especially with a few power play. And, you know, we weathered the storm and then, you know, they kind of get a fluky one and, you know, tight game there for a little. And then, you know, our top guy stepped up big and scored an important 3-1 goal. And, you know, massive win on the road to kick off the trip.
Vladar says that you're going to let him know that you owe him.
I owe him.
He owes you
a
dinner.
That's what I thought. Yeah, he owes me a few. Wolfie, too. I won't let him slide either. So, no, but, I mean, I think everyone blocks shots on our team. And, you know, especially with the way, you know, we play, you got to front a lot of pucks. And, you know, playing against, you know, they have some big boys there. And, you know, they're not easy to box out. And then you just got to stand in front of them and eat a few pucks. And, you know, they hit us today. And, as I said, you know, they'll do anything for the team to win.
Is it too much to say this is one of the bigger wins you guys have had in, you know, this year certainly? Or
yeah, I mean, with the way our schedule is right now and the trip we have and, you know, pushing for a playoff spot, I think, you know, it's always going to be the next one. And the next one is going to be the biggest game of the year. And we just got to take one game at a time.
But knowing, you know, the length of this trip and the opponents on it, just what is the significance of starting it the way that you did?
Yeah, I mean, you just got to take one game at a time. And we did that today, and we managed to get a huge 2 points. And I don't think they've lost here in quite some time in regulation. So it's a huge confidence boost for our group. And now we just got to, you know, keep going here on the road.
That is Rasmus Anderson, and Raz is right. That's the first regulation loss in 17 games for the Capitals at Capital One Arena. They lose 3-1 in regulation to the Flames. And another fourth-line goal tonight. Opening goal scored by Martin Pospisil, and Ryan Lomberg picks up the second assist. Second straight game, Flames have got a goal and a big one from their fourth line. Let's hear from Ryan Lomberg post-game tonight as well.
Well, let's just start with the start, because it was noticeable. You know, what about the energy that your line provided to kick things off here tonight?
Yeah, it was an important start for us, for our group. You know, I'm proud of the way, obviously, myself and line mates and D-Pair handled ourselves out there to start the year.
Well, and, you know, Rui mentioned the little eruption here before the game, too. You found out maybe the pop kind of started in the room before it went on.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming, man. You know, there's been a few games. I was just telling Buzz, there's been a few games where the other team starts their fourth line, and we didn't get our numbers called. So tonight was, you know, going against Ovi and his line was a pretty big opportunity for us. And like I said, I was proud of the way we handled it.
What about just the significance of this win, too? We know, you know, the trip ahead, and we talked about it this morning, but this opponent and the way you guys played tonight.
Yeah, huge. 1-for-1 against one of the best teams in the league. So, you know, there were some good things we did, some things we need to improve on. You know, but overall, I thought we battled, you know, as hard as we could, and that's a great way to start a tough road trip.
What about that first period really impressed you in terms of, you know, obviously the first shift and then the way that it carried out, though?
Yeah, we were obviously ready to play. You know, that's one of the best teams in the league. Like I said, they're notorious for starting right away. Starting with the lead, so you know, obviously to have that start like we did, you know, everybody came ready to go tonight, and it was a great you know, response from our group.
That is Ryan Lomberg post game this evening. 2-game point streak for number 70. Couple of assists in the last two games out of the break for the Flames. Okay, it is last call for phone calls. 403-240-4444. Got a few lines open, so if you want to chat, now's the time to do so. If you're on hold, stay there. If not, call now. Last call, 403-240-4444. Ton of text still to get to on this Tuesday evening. Keep the text coming as well at 960-960. Flames win at 3-1 in Washington. Tonight's game has been brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. This is your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk post-game show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, Flames win this one 3-1 on the road in Washington. What a way to start off a 6-game trip. That is exactly the way the Flames needed to start this one off, and they continue it Thursday in Tampa Bay. A few more looks inside the Flames locker room. Game-winning goal tonight off the stick of Matt Coronato. Let's hear from him right now following a 3-1 win over the Caps.
No, just for you guys as a team, winning two in a row, what does it mean to you guys? I know it's a long way to go to be in a playoff spot and be starting to build your game here.
Yeah, I think it's a great way for us to start this road trip. We knew how much this game meant to us coming in, and I think we're just really proud of the effort we put forward tonight.
How good was Dan Vladar on goal for you guys when he needed to be?
Unbelievable. Huge saves, a lot of timely saves. Kept us in it all night, and really happy for him.
How cool is it for you to score in a game that Alex Ovechkin also scores in? I mean, good for you to get 15, and he happens to be, you can tell your kids one day maybe that you're scoring a goal with Alex Ovechkin.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. He's obviously doing such special things. So, obviously, when you're competing against him, you don't want to see it. But definitely cool to watch all season long.
That's Matt Coronato post-game. And our last look is a chat with Kevin Rooney. As we mentioned, fourth line, second straight game with a goal. Kevin Rooney post-game tonight in Washington.
Well, I'm just taking through, obviously we know the significance of this group and the opponent tonight. What did you like most about your group here tonight?
I think just the start. I thought we started on time. I don't know exactly what the shots were for the first, but we came out ready to play, and credit to all the guys. I thought a lot of guys stepped up and played well tonight.
We know the significance of that first shift too, and maybe you said that first period, but what did you guys do in terms of setting that tempo with that first shift?
Yeah, it was nice. It was great that Husk had the confidence to put us out there first against their top line, and that's been really good this year. One of the better lines in the league. So we wanted to do a good job against that matchup to start and just get it in behind their D and get after it, and that's kind of what we did throughout the first.
Seemed like a real carryover in terms of your line from the other night and just kind of built on that. Is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's two games, right? So we talked about it as a line being really good down the stretch, but it's just two games. So we got to continue to do that for this team if we want to be a playoff team.
It's just the significance of starting a trip, as long as it is with the opponents that are on it, the way that you did tonight.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously Washington's the top of the league right now, and we got some other teams on the trip that are really good hockey teams. So to get off to win the first one out of the six is really good.
Love that reaction in the room too. On the
it was great. We got faked out in St. Louis maybe a month ago or something. So it was nice to not get faked out this time.
Who faked you out, the coach?
Yeah, I forget how it went, and we might have had it on camera. I think Ryan had it. So he kind of said, "Who wants to start?" And all fourth line, of course. Jumped up and said we wanted to start, and it wasn't us. So tonight we actually got it. So all the boys were fired up for us.
With the way they've been able to score in the third period all year long and keep coming after people, after Ovi scores, how important was it for you guys to just shut it down right there?
Yeah, it was really important, and they've been a strong team in the first period as well. I mean, up and down the lineup, they got guys that have put the puck in the net this year. So and obviously when Ovi scores, the building gets going. So for us to just kind of stay in the moment and stick to our game was huge.
There is Kevin Rooney, our final look inside the Flames locker room following a big 3-1 win in Washington. Let's get back to the text line at 960-960 on your Flames Talk post-game show. Pat Steinberg along with you. Claude says, great effort. Flames win. Oilers continue to lose. Let the good times roll. Yes, the Oilers scored first and then let a bunch of unanswered goals in and lost in Tampa Bay. Ash says, as you've stated before, the Flames seemingly always start winning games again once they're counted out. Great snipe by Coronato. I don't think I've seen him score a single goal along the ice. Finally, do you think Pospisil playing on the fourth line is the biggest reason why the fourth line's been so effective? To me, Pospisil's an above average fourth liner, but nonetheless, he's now properly slotted. It's very true. I mean, you go into this post-break schedule and the Flames are three back with even games played. Two games later, they're one game up with even games played. And every time this season when it's felt like the Flames are going to fall out of this thing, every time they've clawed their way back in. And here's another example of them doing that. As for the Pospisil question, yeah, I do believe that is the biggest reason why they've been able to be a much more effective line the last six periods. Now, on top of that, Rooney's played pretty well, and Lomberg's been a pretty consistent player all year long. But I do think Pospisil, the jump, the energy, and I agree, he's an above-average fourth liner, and and he's been good for them on that fourth line. Mitch and Chestermere, fun playoff-like game tonight. Fourth line's been great to watch the last two games. Adding Pospisil's brought some much-needed skill they were missing. He plays with the grit needed on a fourth line, but's able to provide top-nine skill, which has resulted in a goal in each of the last two games. Clip on Sportsnet when Huska announced they were starting was incredible. Happy for Vladar, having a great showing after a long layoff for him. Keep it going in Tampa on Thursday. This says, with Vladar having a good start, what are the chances they go back to him? Maybe some more positive exposure before the deadline. I don't think the chances are high. I think back to Wolf on Thursday would be the large betting line. This says, would like to see Farabee put up with Coleman and Backlund. Might help him learn to play in the Flame system quicker and create some good habits. I mean, right now, I don't know. I mean, you've got on all three lines, well, at least on two lines, you've got a pair of forwards that you're quite confident with. That's Huberto Kadri, Backlund Coleman. So you've got a couple of forward pairs, and I think you're still kind of, you've got nice options, but I still think the Flames are looking for exactly the alignment that they want. So whether Zeri stays on the Backlund line, Farabee gets there. I mean, Farabee's had some good and some bad since joining the team. Maybe they try Joel Farabee there. You know, Frost hasn't found a perfect fit in terms of who he's playing with, but, you know, Frost and Sharon Govich, could that be something? Curious to see how the alignment looks and how they work through some of these things as the stretch drive continues. Nick and Crossfield, should we compare the Flames and Oilers in the same road trip together? So far, they're up one. Let's show the boys up north how to take on Eastern powerhouse teams. I mean, you could do that if you want. Oilers did not win in Washington, nor did they win in Tampa Bay. We'll see how that plays itself out. Will in BC, I've been hard on Huberto in the past. I think my best compliment for him was, well, he was less bad tonight, but now I think he's playing much better, more confidence and less overthinking and better defensively. I no longer shudder when I see him out there. Still not a superstar, but really I'd call him a very good player for the Flames now. Would you agree with this? Yes. I would agree with that. Is Huberto a superstar player on this team? No, he's not. But he's been a very good player for them for the vast majority of this season. I agree completely, Will. Geez, what Twilight Zone is this? Will and I have been on the same page like all season long, which is nice. I like it. This reads, congrats to Vladar on the shutout. Power play goals from Ovechkin are just a part of the game, just like offsides and icings. Kidding, but congrats on the big game by number 80. That's funny. What else we got here at 960? Tommy in Beddington Heights says, didn't watch the game, but tuned in for post game. Thanks for the positive vibes. Trying our best. Trevor in Siksika, awesome W from the boys tonight. In Huska, we trust. Question, I'm looking at the positive side of things. Calgary will make the playoffs. Does Connie go after Sam Bennett? Your thoughts? I don't think that Sam Bennett gets traded. I think there's like next to a 0% chance Bennett gets traded before the deadline. Now, I didn't think Rantanen would get traded either, and he did. But I do think the chances are very low that Sam Bennett gets traded. Now, if Bennett doesn't re-sign in Florida in the offseason, then I think that there's something there. I think the Flames absolutely will be a team that goes after Bennett in free agency. Will they be able to acquire him before the deadline? Very, very, very unlikely. Grant says, what a game. I was really enjoying the defensive ability. It really shined tonight. You can really see what an impact Ball makes. I feel like Backlund must still be really battling something. He seems very much out of sorts, and it's quite concerning. Beat the best team in the league and proceed to move into a playoff spot. Fantastic night for a Flames fan. Go Flames, goal. I almost had a heart attack seeing Coronado go into the boards. Coronado got roughed up a couple of times tonight, but jumped right back in each time. Played well tonight. Scored the game-winning goal. I actually thought Backlund was okay tonight, and I thought it was a real positive sign again that he was 13-7 in the faceoff dot. Went 13-20 at 65%. Only regular faceoff taker to be above 50% tonight. So that to me is a really good sign when it comes to Michael Backlund. I do think post-break, he's looked a little better and a little less labored than he did. He's obviously been playing through something, and it looks a little less obvious the last couple of games. This reads, how's Solovyov fitting in so far? His slotting looked better than other options we've seen cycle through the lineup. That comes from Buff. I thought Solovyov had a really strong game tonight. Maybe best game I've seen him play. And I think he was slotted properly on the third pairing with Pahal. I thought Pahal and Solovyov had a strong night, and that's good to see. If it's me, I'd keep Solovyov in for another game, and that's not even a knock on Jake Bean. I think Bean's been fine for him, but I still think you want to get more opportunities to see Solovyov play. I'm keeping that third pairing the same going into Thursday's game in Tampa Bay. What else we got here at 960? Jesse and Sylvan, amazing game tonight. Go Flames, go. Little enthusiasm in the media and social media will help the boys make it to the playoffs. The game isn't just about rules or the economics of not letting a guy walk for nothing. You need a big heart to win a cup. You need to want to win. When Huberdeau scored, that excitement was infectious. These boys want to win. No trades. Keep the room. Chemistry's perfect. That experience, even if they lose in the first round, is worth more in value than an alleged third rounder in exchange for Vladar. This reads from Mike. The Flames need a team with a superstar or an elite player. This completely sucks. They're in the same situation as the past 20 years. Mike and Okotoks not feeling overly optimistic after the win. Okay. This says from Cam in the Southwest. Great to see Anderson have such a good game with his partner back in the lineup. I did think that they were pretty strong defensively in this game. What else we got here at 960? Daryl says, always laugh at the, I don't want to say it, but the stupid questions that are asked to a hockey player. I won't read the rest of that. Fair enough. This from Karen. Why is Sharon Govich on the power play? What am I missing? Well, we do know he's got a heck of a shot, so that would be the reason why. And finally, Julian Salmon Arm. So happy for Vladar, my favorite Flame ever. I heard he seemed calmer and more composed in net tonight. To me, that was the only thing maybe missing from his game somewhat. Maybe Wolfie gave him some Zen monk lessons. Alex in Belmont says they need another right-handed forward. I think big picture they do. Do they need to go and chase that without fail at the deadline? Probably not. If they could get one that fits their age range, different story. Or if they could get one that isn't a massive, massive price to pay, also a different story. This from Rob in Calgary. Want to give an attaboy to Nazem Kadri. He's got a ton of great attributes, but a big one that doesn't always get acknowledged is the players he brings along. And currently, I believe he's responsible for Huberdeau's turnaround. I'd never trade Kadri. That comes from Rob. You're talking to one of the biggest Kadri fans going. So I don't think that, you know, obviously, never say never. And there are always trades that make sense for teams. But where the Flames are right now, and with how important Kadri's been for his three seasons or two plus seasons as a member of the Flames, I'm not eager to move him out as it stands right now. I know some disagree, but I'm a big Kadri fan and a big Kadri supporter. And I think for where they are right now, keeping him the rest of this season makes a ton of sense. If there are things that you look at and there are opportunities to get younger and change the dynamic in the offseason, different story. But for the rest of this year, I'm not trading Kadri. I don't think the Flames are trading Kadri either. Great stuff on the text line tonight at 960-960. We had a caller on the phone lines, but that caller has dropped off. So now we are clear on the phone lines. That'll wrap us up on both the text line and the phone lines tonight as the Flames win this one 3-1 on the road in Washington. It's time now for our final summary on our Flames Talk post-game show as the Flames never trailed tonight. They opened the scoring at 11:47 of the first period. Martin Pospisil makes it 1-0 with his fourth of the year. Pospisil from Ilya Solovyov and Ryan Lomberg. A fourth line goal has the Flames on the board. Then less than 5 minutes later, Matt Coronato makes it 2-0 Calgary with his 15th. Kevin Ball, the only assist at 16:42. Flames up 2-0 after 20 minutes of play. Capitals woke up from there. They put a ton of rubber on net and towards the net in the second period, but nothing doing. No scoring in the second. Still 2-0 Flames after 40. Early in the third, power play goal from who else? Alex Ovechkin, another 30-goal season. Ovechkin's 30th from John Carlson and Dylan Strome. Power play goal at 4:52 to make it 2-1. For Ovechkin, his 883rd career NHL goal. He is now 11 away from tying and 12 away from passing Wayne Gretzky for the all-time NHL goal scoring record. That made it 2-1. That's as close as the Caps would get. Less than 5 minutes to go. Big goal from Jonathan Huberdeau, his team leading 22nd to make it 3-1. Nazem Kadri, the assist at 15:32, makes it 3-1, and that would end up being your final score. Final shots, 27-25 in favor of Washington. Flames go 0-for-2 on the power play tonight. Washington 1-for-3 with the man advantage. Your three stars in the building tonight. Number 3, Alex Ovechkin. Number 2, Dan Vladar. And your number 1 star with a game-winning goal, Matt Coronato, this evening. Hardest-working Flame is selected by Megan Mickelson. Tonight was Martin Pospisil. With the win, Flames improved to 28-21-8. They're back in action Thursday as this road trip continues in Tampa Bay, while Washington falls to 38-12-8. They're back in action on Saturday at home to St. Louis. That is your final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, and for our outstanding producer, Azam Ali Nanji, my name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up on our Flames Talk post-game show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast. Next up for the Flames, Thursday night in Tampa Bay. That is a 5 o'clock face-off. Once again, we'll be on the air at 4 o'clock with your Calgary Flames warm-up. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your week. Final score from Washington. Huge way to start a 6-game road trip. Flames win 3-1 over the Capitals. This has been your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.